Welcome to Eye of a Theory, a podcast where we explore intersections between physics, metaphysics, religion, society, consciousness, and being. I'm your host, Jill Blakely. On today's episode, we're going to talk about the thought experiment by James Clerk Maxwell called, appropriately, Maxwell's Demon. And this imagined a way in which entropy and the second law of thermodynamics could be possibly violated. The requirement was that the demon had to have complete knowledge of the system to be clever enough to do this. The idea was, and continues to be thought of, as completely impossible, though, because no one could know all the information of a system. But big data and our lack of data privacy have changed that. And I have a theory that Cambridge Analytica and others, which, like them, will surely follow in their place, have cracked this impossibility and have created what can only be called Maxwell's Demon and the resulting data wars, and they are a real threat to humanity. James Clerk Maxwell was unarguably one of the top three scientists and theorists of all time among Newton and Einstein. Einstein said that he stood on the shoulders of Maxwell, and Maxwell, known for his equations that brought the math to Faraday's insights around energy, was a genius. A lesser-known thought experiment he came up with was to show how the second law of thermodynamics, something that was considered a constant and inviolate, could be violated. The second law of thermodynamics describes the flow of energy from one state to another and describes entropy, what we would see as the breaking down of things, decay, aging, heat. All energy is the transformation of something. Now, typically, we think of energy as movement and heat and occasionally mass, but all energy is kinetic. We don't often think of it as information, data, or time, which it also is. The only way we perceive time is as a result of entropy and the second law of thermodynamics and the memory and storage of changes of state. When we see something burn, it turns to a different form, though its release of through its release of energy. We perceive the difference as a passage of time. It flows for our perception in one direction, though this is not the actual reality. Time doesn't flow. Energy flows. Mass, gravity, attraction, passion, interest, these things create energy. It causes movement, causes densities, which creates heat. Like all energy, it can be good or bad, depending on the source and how it is used. The law of entropy and how everything devolves from a high, active energy state to a low, static, dead one is just part of the accepted nature of things. Stars radiate their energy and cool, eventually becoming black holes or white dwarfs and so on, or red dwarfs. Humans use and burn off their calories and cells and information and die. The first law of thermodynamics states that the energy didn't just vanish, it went somewhere, it was transformed. The total energy in the closed system is maintained, though it transformed into heat, light, waves, or warm food. Maxwell wasn't so sure that the second law couldn't be violated and created a thought experiment to prove this. And this experiment was like this. A demon controls a door between two chambers of gas. As individual gas molecules approach the door, the demon opens and shuts the door in such a way that only the fast molecules go to one side and only the slow molecules to the other. And because faster molecules are hotter, the demon's behavior causes one side to warm up and the other side to cool down. And this decreases the entropy and proves that the second law of thermodynamics can indeed be violated. This thought experiment is under a great amount of debate and theoretical work on the relation between thermodynamics and information theory, extending to today, with a number of scientists are arguing that any theoretical considerations will rule out any practical device violating the second law in this way. And clearly this isn't true. What I believe is what we have now seen with Cambridge Analytica and their involvement in the toppling of societies and governments and creating division to control and create a new world order. It shows us that all you need is enough information about things that will change in the system. All you need to find are those who can be malleable and persuadable. And if you have enough data about the location and the movements, thoughts of the person, you can make them shift closer and closer to that door and through the other side themselves. And you can have total control of a system. The reason Maxwell's equation was considered theoretically impossible is because who could know everything about a system? And it's interesting that information theorists have opinions on this. The key for the demon is knowing more about a system, which reduces the entropy and narrows the possibilities. You can then place the particles, the pawns, the chess pieces, the people, wherever you want them to go, and only allow certain ones through and not others. You can play them just like pawns on a chessboard. In the film The Great Hack, what we see is that the data that we have freely provided, you might say necessarily provided in order to function and compete in this modern world, was used against us in the form of propaganda and psyops of military grade proportions. People were lied to, misled, riled up, and influenced to get angry, fearful, jealous, and entitled out of all proportion. Cambridge Analytica boasted that it had 7,000 data points on the entire U.S. electorate, from personality, fears, loves, desires, to location, shopping habits, income, priorities, and what gets our heart rate up, and 6,992 other things we can't even imagine. The film reveals that they practiced and test-marketed this ability in Africa. They destabilized the countries through their influence over elections. From creating content and propaganda that was not for everyone to see, it was information that was targeted to those they knew already would get upset, perhaps even violent. Once it was proven to work effectively, they rolled it out to Obama, Trump, and Brexit, among other countries, including Brazil. With Obama, it seemed to be a positive entry. Who could complain when the information seemed to reach the disenfranchised to feel more connected and involved? But because there was no morality and there were no ethical guidelines around the privacy of people or how that data was being used to create propaganda and take away democracy and the flow of information and replace it with an agenda and marching orders, that was used by the same people to completely dismantle everything that was done previously under Obama. Everywhere you look, you see fascism, sexism, racism, and the destruction of the earth on the rise. Division is everywhere, and because it is existential right now, real anger, panic, and survival instincts are kicking in. Once everyone is afraid, mistrustful, unable to discern the truth because they've been lied to from all sides, in the place of anarchy, tyranny steps in to control and create a kind of order. China is already grading people on their behavior as whether it's acceptable to their society or not, and limiting their options and even the possibility of escape if they don't agree and submit. This is all based on information that we freely provide. If you are familiar with the story of Henrietta Lacks, this is a woman whose cells were taken without her permission and used to the profit of billions of dollars for those thieves while she suffered and died in poverty. Currently, experiments with DNA, cloning, human hybrid crosses are being played with, and the world is providing even the data of their history, race, body chemistry, addictions, disease, and potential for disease, personality, and more. And many people are giving up all that data, even paying to give it up, to companies like 23andMe to use as they please. We never suspected how our data would be used against us in psyops and election manipulation, and we don't suspect how our DNA data will be used in the future. The only thing that prevented Maxwell's demon from being a legit demon capable of violating the laws of thermodynamics and manipulating the entire world into an order that obeys and worships what it chooses was having enough data, storing that data, and deciding what to do with that data. This problem is easily overcome today, and it's important that we recognize the extent of the danger here. AI, the development of quantum computing, and other big data firms are currently capable of completely disrupting society. Some ways in which Facebook experimented without our permission was in testing their use and effectiveness for companies just like Cambridge Analytica in manipulating our mood. In 2014, we discovered that they used algorithms just like PsyOps to make people feel happier or sadder, more isolated, get fewer likes, etc. When what we are being fed is toxic to us, when truth and facts are made equal to lies and fake news and propaganda, then there's a breakdown in society, in shared purpose and ideals, in what is right and wrong, good and bad, truth and fiction. Truth becomes replaced by popularity and society replaced by populism. They use algorithms to change our moods and decide what we should see under the guise of making things more relevant. In some ways, they are indeed making things more relevant and appropriate. It's hard to complain when the ad you see is exactly the kind of thing you were looking for. It's frustrating to only see the deemed popular fare of our friends, for example, over and over again, rather than a variety of what my friends actually post. Algorithms can be oppression, and the worst part of it is that we are completely blind to how it's structured and made to flow. These are completely kept secret. For example, just one example that we can, that isn't a secret, but when the movie Green Book came out and there was controversy around the story and how it prioritized the least interesting person, the white male driver, and not the actual Green Book or the most accomplished person, the black man, Dr. John Shirley, but because the film was named Green Book, what happened in the algorithms on the searches was finding any information about the actual Green Book got buried, hidden underneath a completely different story that was appropriated from black people to elevate a white person. And when I wanted to find out more about the actual Green Book, it was nearly impossible to find on a Google search. It became replaced by the film and all the stars of the film and all the controversy around the film. It was all about the film. And in order to find it, you really had to dig deep. And as in the last episode, I mentioned that P.D. Uspensky's Enneagram, the true one, got buried in the algorithm by the popularity of the false one. And this isn't okay. It's one way in which algorithms can be oppressive and disenfranchise people and remove knowledge from the system. Algorithms also prevent a natural flow unless you pay for the flow, and even then, the cost to enable this flow is ever increasing. As a small business, if you want to get people to hear about your business, invention, podcast, anything at all, you have to pay to advertise and promote your or your information will be throttled and choked to death. But you are competing with massive players and need to keep paying more and more and more just to break through. You have to spend enormous amounts of time online, on their services, engaging or contracting bots or people or services to engage for you. It all costs time and money and energy just to beat the algorithms set up to maintain a status quo and appear popular. Much of it is fake popularity that transforms to real popularity through the fear of missing out and the desire to fit in and belong, which is a major motivator for people. And this is also why keeping us isolated and divided is so critical to the data wars. If we are all divided, our need for connection becomes heightened. It creates a void for us that they fill with things they want us to think and see and purchase in order to maintain their control. From what we give in terms of data to what we are given to see and hear, this affects us tremendously. And as I mentioned in the first few podcasts, all we are is data. We are information that is gathered into densities with the purpose to gather more information and process it. We are data, and we are giving ourselves up for nothing as though we had no value. Even laws like GDPR don't go far enough in protecting our data and how it's used, only that it demands consent. The problem with that is that you could say access to these things is necessary for commerce and society, just as roads and hospitals are necessary for society. So opting out is not really an option if you want to use the services. They're conditional upon signing over your rights. How they are used, even if they are regulated, does not mean that people will not break those rules and create havoc nonetheless. What we saw in the Great Hack is that Facebook provided the bulk of the PSYOPs data to Cambridge Analytica, who was supposed to delete it, but did not have the rights to it, but kept it, used it, and destroyed democracy with it. There have always been the unscrupulous. The Wall Street crash was a result of unscrupulousness. And afterwards, they say they couldn't have known, except they did know people were unscrupulous the whole time because they themselves were unscrupulous. This is about not asking permission to do something they know is unethical and apologizing later, when it's too late, when democracy has fallen. Who will they answer to? No one. And this is where we have been headed and seem to be. So what can we do? We need to use their system to change them. We need to give less information about ourselves, stop doing those tests and games, stop giving them our consent for free, demand greater data privacy rights, demand free access and algorithm transparency. But the most important thing we need to do is get on firm footing ourselves, stop being among the persuadables, and develop ethics and morals that are unshakable. Prioritize love and connection and not engage with trolls and anything divisive. Learn to treat others as family and love one another as thyself. And we need to learn to discern, because the information wars will try to either turn you away from the truth or push you towards falsehood. The main objective is always to divide and conquer. It's the art of misdirection and magic. If we're divided into small little groups of men versus women, white versus black, LGBTQ versus straight cis, Christian versus Muslim and Jew, this is all to prevent us from going after the real source of the problems we experience, which is the rich versus poor, owner versus slave. If we have given up control over our lives to others, we are their slave. We have signed waivers. We have not bothered to be worried, so sure of our own goodness and innocence, we had nothing to hide. But there have always been, and now it is much more dire, people who exploit our innocence and goodness and openness and information and use it against us. They weaponize that knowledge by turning you into their weapon. And the only way to not participate is to become knowledgeable about their ways, but choose different. Choose love. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Maxwell's demon is real and manifest now. Cambridge Analytica, Facebook, and others are Maxwell's demon, and they are breaking us up to manage us as they expand and become greater themselves. Data is now one of the most valuable traded commodities. You are that data. You have become a commodity, chattel for sale. This is affecting every part of the world now, and it's important that we are aware of how critical and effective it is, and we must learn to seek better information. We need to look beyond what we are fed. We need to hear other voices that traditionally have been buried in the algorithms of history and oppression, and seek them out and listen with love and respect. Compassion makes a great foundation, and regardless of what information we are fed, if we act in love and mercy and kindness, we will not be susceptible to these powers. We will have a firm foundation that is unshakable. This is why Jesus taught to turn the other cheek, and if a man sues you to take your shirt, give him your cloak as well. It's a defense that does not turn us into something we hate. These manipulators of our conscience want us to feel justified in our anger and redirect it to someone lower for you to harm. It's much easier to hurt someone of a lower status than you than a great power or persons of higher status. So, having people keep punching down is a way to prevent you from dealing with the real oppressors, the ones at the top, who are never held accountable because everyone is conditioned to feel dependent on them. This is a lie that they want us to believe. They want us to feel disempowered. Who can fight this beast? Information is great. Data is valuable and can change the world and us for the better. But when it is throttled, manipulated, targeted so that everyone gets different information, spun, and emotions played with, it becomes weaponized. And we need to disarm this weapon from being effective by being better and kinder and more discerning and interested in real understanding. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I have a lot more supporting information for you on my website at ihaveatheorypodcast.com. And you can help support this podcast and improving the algorithms so this reaches more people by sharing with friends and writing a 5-star review on iTunes. You can also purchase anything from CoherentThere.com. CoherentThere is making sustainable, made-to-order athleisure, especially designed with frequent flyers and the frequently fly in mind. Please use code Theory10 to get 10% off your first order.